Okay, here we go. Is that our concern? In this week's reading, Jesus, wine, the wedding at Cana, Jesus told his mom it wasn't their concern. That's rude. It's the kind of thing that communicates disrespect, disdain. It's not nice at all. Some folks look at the way Jesus addressed his mother as rude too, where he says, "Woman, what concern is that?" And I do identify that Jesus telling his mother that it was not their concern was kind of unnecessary. I'm not quite sure that the way he addressed her was rude, at least contextually. Reading it now, it looks kind of callous, misogynistic there. But the context of the time makes it more as if he said, "Ma'am," or something close to that. Still, maybe not the way you address your mother. How about, "Mom, what concern is that?" Anyway, it wasn't nice, but maybe it wasn't as not nice as we look at it. Mary responded in a pretty respectful way, probably holding her tongue. "Do whatever he tells you." Can you imagine the eye roll before that? "Do whatever he tells you." That's what I can imagine. I also think that right after, when the servants were filling up the jugs, the wine, the water containers, that she looked at him and said, "Hold it right there, young man. You don't talk to me that way." Maybe not, but it just feels like it did. It brings up a question, because there is some disrespect here. Maybe not as much as our time sort of dictates, but is it okay to speak to people with disrespect? I know that it happens every day. I know it happens at all levels. It happens with friends. It happens with business associates. It happens in Congress. It happens in politics, all over the place. But is it okay just because it happens? What does it accomplish when we speak with such disrespect? It's good that Jesus turned water into wine at a time where folks might have been prone to get rude. They've been drinking a little bit at this wedding, some of them feeling pretty happy. And Jesus, who was a guest, still practiced this extravagant hospitality. His first recorded miracle was keeping the party going. Because Jesus does that. But here's a little bit of advice about keeping the party going, extravagant hospitality, graciousness, whatever. The response to showing hospitality is graciousness. Also, advice like that is meant as something that an individual does and not how we say how someone else should be. As in, "Well, they weren't being gracious to me, so I'm not being gracious back. They didn't say thank you to me, so I'm not saying thank you back. They didn't say thank you, so I shouted out aloud, 'You're welcome!'" No, that's not being gracious. That's not being polite. That's being passive-aggressive or overtly aggressive. Off my soapbox. That's just kind of how I think things should be. Jesus practiced extravagant hospitality. He responded to a need right there. He did that a lot, responded to needs. And that's a good example to follow. Sometimes the response to a need is easy. Opening a door for someone. Cleaning up your room after you trip over something. Picking up the dishes after dinner. Rinsing them, putting them in the dishwasher, washing them. Not expecting everyone else to do stuff for you, sure. But sometimes the need is more controversial. There isn't agreement on what the need is. There isn't agreement on the solution to the need. There's fear-mongering, hatred, any number of attempts to marginalize any movement to move toward a better day. Today we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King was in a Birmingham jail after leading nonviolent demonstrations for civil rights. Nonviolent demonstrations against racism. Nonviolent demonstrations against injustice. And he'd been chastised for the demonstrations and for his part in them. He'd been called an outside agitator. He had received a, "You don't belong here, this is none of your concern" letter from local clergy. Listen to these words from Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail. "I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives in the United States can never be considered an outsider. And the contemporary church is so often a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. It is so often the arch supporter of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's often vocal sanction of things as they are." Dr. King, we are still caught in an inescapable network of mutuality today. And the contemporary church is still so often the arch supporter of the status quo. Too often we act as if it's just not our concern. And guess what? It is our concern. We, the church, we need to be the arch supporter of the marginalized, of the outcast, with prayer and direct action. As humanity, we have to realize all of this and be part of making things better together. We can't just sit and pray. Remember, we're people of prayer and action. And now hear these words from the leadership of the United Church of Christ. From the Reverend John C. Dorhauer, UCC General Minister and President. "As people of faith, we believe in the God of abundance and not the myth of scarcity and xenophobia. Manufactured fear has always been a way to justify dehumanization of marginalized communities. We are faced with a moral crisis as a country, not a border crisis, nor a national emergency." And the Reverend Jim Mose, Associate General Minister for Global Engagement and Operations and the co-executive of Global Ministries. "The UCC has a long history of supporting disaster ministries and making sure refugees are resettled. We see real crisis all the time. There is no national security emergency on the border. There is a manufactured crisis, and the administration is now moving forward with an undemocratic power grab because Congress and the public refuse to go along with these immoral policies. Now we must join together across this country with a unified moral voice for compassionate immigration policies and the respect and dignity of all people." And then Reverend Tracy Blackman, Associate General Minister for Justice and Local Church Ministries. She says, "We've been here before. I know it feels brand new, but it's not. We've been here before. America has been here before. Black and brown people who have been historically oppressed and marginalized in this country and erased from our historical narrative have been here before. And here we are again, declaring ourselves to be one nation under God and yet daring to curse that which God has blessed. God is God of the whole world. God cares for all of creation." Whew. Immigration, border security, the wall. They're topics that get people riled up. And folks start demonizing one another and one another's opinions with disrespectful, rude, and unnecessary attitude. If we would stop beginning with demonization, we really could get a lot more accomplished. We can find out what we have in common, work toward that. But when our goal is just more power and fundraising and less humanity, we all lose. And all of it, as uncomfortable as it may be to talk about it, to hear these words, all of it is our concern. Humanity is our concern. Common humanity is our concern. LGBTQ equality is our concern. Advocating for and living out peace is our concern. Being welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health is our concern. Being a caring community of Christ is our concern. Being a people of prayer and action is our concern. Being a beacon of hope, justice, and peace is our concern. And I know it's a lot. And that's not all. Because being the church is our concern. I know we can't do everything, but we can do something. Collectively, individually, with other groups, through lots of means. Through our presence, through our finances, through letters, through prayers, through conversations. Does it mean that everything's impossible, or we're going to accomplish everything? No. Solutions do seem to be fleeting, almost impossible. But does that mean that people of good conscience, good faith, and good intentions can't unclench their fists and work together towards solutions? No, it doesn't mean that. We can unclench our fists and work together. Humanity has to stop finding ways to berate, belittle, harm, and kill each other. Dr. King had it right. We are caught in an inescapable network of humanity. And if we inject violence into our inescapable network, then the violence doesn't wane, it grows. Violence cannot cast out violence. Hate cannot not cast out hate. Toxic speech cannot toxic speech cannot cast out toxic speech. But kindness leads to kindness. Generosity leads to generosity. Forgiveness leads to forgiveness. Cooperation leads to cooperation. Love leads to love. Hospitality leads to hospitality. Jesus responded to a need. Some today see that move as controversial, or try to explain it away that makes it less controversial or not controversial at all. At the party, Jesus continued with his first recorded miracle. It was real wine. It was the kind that could make a person drunk, and Jesus drank the wine too. It doesn't mean that everyone should do that, and people who have had a problem with that historically or may have a problem with that shouldn't be drinking alcohol. But it's not a reason to fight among ourselves, and it's not a reason to have theological anger. It's a reason to be called to something better. Better than the best you might put on at the beginning of a wedding feast. Better than what we simply use to impress others. This is the kind of better that changes the world. It's the kind of better that not only recognizes but celebrates that we are woven together with this inescapable network of mutuality. It's the kind of better that Jesus talks about when he says, "I have come to bring you life, abundant life." Dr. King reminded us of our unbreakable connections to one another. Jesus reminds us that that connection is to be celebrated with kindness, generosity, forgiveness, cooperation, love, and hospitality. And yes, it is our concern. We can talk to each other. We can expect the best of one another. Treat one another as if everyone mattered. Let our actions be a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. Let all we do be for the world a sign. Amen.